talk about the end of the Shayana Leela, the dust past times. But before, I would love to share with you some introductory thoughts that will help you understand the particular love which the Brijbasis have towards Krishna, especially the eternal associates of Krishna. Please know, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they have seen how Krishna took birth in the land of Braj. Please know that all the elderly gopas and gopis had been there for the birth celebration of Krishna. Please know that Krishna's friends, the gopas and also the many gopis, had heard from their parents that Krishna was born in their own village. This makes it easy to feel what is so important in bhakti. It's called in Sanskrit mamatva, or a mindness. Krishna is ours. Krishna is our son. Krishna is our prince who is born to our king. And Krishna has taken birth and grown up in the same village. Therefore, all these can feel very easy. These devotees can feel what is impossible for anyone else to feel without huge amounts of kripa. They can feel Krishna is ours. And this immediately makes a closeness that is very, very unique. Can you think of, for instance, a person in your family, your brother, how close you feel? Because he's really your brother. He's taken birth in the same, from the same parents and so on. The feeling of my brother is not possible in relationship to Nimai, the brother of Gaur Krishna. It's not possible. He is not a blood relative, so to say. And I think you know, with these type of relations, nothing can ever, ever change it. Whereas other relationships which we have, yeah, there may be disappointment and there may be distance happening, but with Krishna and the Brijbasis, that can never happen. They can never feel distance. They feel always our Kanai, our Krishna. He belongs to us. Why did he leave our village? Why? It is the greatest mystery and the greatest pain for them. And when they are together with Krishna, it is the greatest uncomplicated joy, uncomplicated. And there's never a feeling that this might annoy Krishna. Therefore, Mother Yashoda tells Krishna, you're so dirty. You are little like a monkey. And Radharani can take her lotus and give Krishna a gulcha, a slap. And it is not a reason to be upset. In fact, it is enjoyed as a certain form of closeness that Krishna cannot have anywhere else. No one can hit God with a lotus. You know, that is not possible. So that is the reason why the Brijbasis love, if they are really in the spirit of a Brijbasi, we have to say, in Kali Yuga. But even if not, they all have a certain feeling of closeness. And they don't need to prove themselves or prove Krishna like anything with a, like we sometimes we Westerners think or and so on. This you need to know to hear the upcoming pastimes, so that you keep in mind that this is the special pastime. Now, we have heard about the night meal in Nanda Gram. Normally, Srimati Radharani is not present. This was an exception which we heard from, you know, you remember the Manohar Ladu episode which we heard. Typically, Radha is in Yavat or in Vashana, from where Srimati Radharani sends her manjaris with baskets of self-made sweets for Krishna. And when the manjaris come to this beautiful night meal of Nanda Maharaj and see how Krishna relishes the sweets, they are very eager to bring the remnants of the sweets home to Radharani. And Dhanishta, remember, who is in Nandagram and who is very much on this favoring the gopis, like everyone, she always makes sure that some of Krishna's remnants are mixed there into the prasad. It's not just left over which Krishna didn't touch, it is left over which has the wonderful fila of Krishna in there. This sweet is carried by Tulsi Manjari, like the greatest treasure in a special box. Meanwhile, in Yavat, Jotila tries to convince Radha and the Sakis they should eat the food remnants of Abhimanyu. Like a proper wife eats the food remnants of her husband in this old tradition. Jotila wants Radharani to eat the food remnants of Abhimanyu. So Radha says, oh yes, very nice, and places the food remnants in a corner of her room. And then Tulsi Manjari comes and brings the food remnants from Krishna and tells Radha, and Krishna said this when he ate your sweet, and Krishna did this. And he also, when I asked him where you should meet, yes, Radha, did he give a specific place and time? Yes, he said at such and such time he will be at the banks of the river Jamuna. This is all Radha needs to know, and she is very, very happy with her little messenger Tulsi, who has brought the news how she can meet. Now, at this time in Nandagram, the atmosphere is extremely social and relaxed. Nanda Maharaj sits there and he is surrounded by the young gopas, and he tells them stories from the Purana. Some are totally new, they had never heard them before. Others he has talked again and again, but they never tire to hear the different new nuances and new shades within the story. They sit around Nanda Maharaj, whom they worship, not just because he's the father of their kanai, of Krishna. They especially worship Nanda Maharaj because he, two things, he's very expert and he can answer all their questions on cow herding. say this and the cow will go left, say that and the cow will stop, say that and the cow will jump over an obstacle and so on. So Nanda Maharaj is such an ideal example for all the cowherd boys that he's their hero. And they sit with great respect around Nanda Baba. So his expertise is there. But the other reason is Nanda Maharaj considers all the friends of Krishna like his own sons. He has so much love. He doesn't distinguish. Of course, in some ways, Krishna is everything for him. But he also includes in his love the other cowherd boys. And so they sit there and ask questions and listen, rapt with attention. No one makes a joke or is distracted, although they are always joking and always distracted. They are now with Nanda Baba. And they are sitting next to Nanda Baba. And they are asking questions. And Nanda Baba sometimes even answers the questions by yet a new Puranic story.
Ha-ha, this is nothing now. So for instance, he knows, that is in one poem, when one bull becomes unruly,
you know, they can become and be bull-like and make them a song. Nanda Maharaj knows how to pacify them. He goes in circles around that bull, and then he's prays to him, "You are the personification of Dharma. And Ahimsa is Dharma." He will not beat the bull. He, by his super good qualities, he pacifies even an unruly, temperamental bull.
Yes.
Now, meanwhile, Krishna is very relaxed in the atmosphere of his cowherd boyfriends. Krishna is also at that time with Yashoda very relaxed, and they have their discussions like we heard yesterday. But this is now from the cowherd perspective. You must know there is something that puzzles Krishna's mind. When he was herding the cows, he saw an extraordinary, beautiful girl who winked at him and then shyly disappeared. And Krishna tells to his very confidential friends, they are Namasakas, they are privy to the Madhurya Rasa. He said, "I can only think of this girl who momentarily came on the path of my eyes. By her extraordinary qualities, I feel great closeness to her, but then she disappeared. For me, it was like a lightning on the roof of a palace. It was suddenly there and then disappeared. Now I'm thinking, who could that most qualified girl be?" "Ah," says Subal, "this is no one else than the younger sister of Sridham." So they talk about Radharani like this. Then Subal is sent to Radharani to repeat the same message which has been told. See, in the bewilderment of love, or in great love, you always think the beloved person, you see him for the first time. Have you ever loved a person whom you, or felt affection to the person? You think, "Wow, I'm seeing you for the very first time." No? So,
So yeah, so Abhimanyu had already eaten and gone to the cow shed to bed down for the night. He was already asleep and ran along. Told the Manjaris, look, there is something in the corner. Can you please get it out of the room? It's a food remnants, and then it's brought somewhere as if it is poison or atomic waste, you know. And Radharani, who can only take what is from Krishna, eats this. And then she, Subal arrives and confirms the earlier plan. And then Radharani makes plans with her sakis to meet Krishna in the night. And this will open the next chapter, the Pradosha Leela, the evening pastimes. Here I will pause my katha and request our Krishna Murari to share a few impressions, anything you wish. Let us give you this microphone also.
So please, everyone, remember the special love which is there between Radha and also Radha and Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda and everyone.
I would first like to add something about the closeness or the myness of, or the mamatva of each of the nij parikar of Krishna, which includes gopas, gopis, elder gopas, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and cows, small squirrels, peacocks, everyone. For them, Krishna is not a different person. He is belonging from their own caste, clan, gender, or very close to them. And they can express anything. When you know a person, when you feel that much closeness to a person, you don't hesitate to say anything to that person. So this sense of hesitation has never been there between the cowherd boys or between the nij parikar of Krishna and Krishna. He can say anything to them and they can say anything to them. Even at points of times, Mother Yashoda calls Krishna a pig. Because she decorates Krishna so beautifully, and he goes and sometimes catches the tail of a calf and runs behind the calf, and whole his body is covered with lots of cow dung and everything. And he sometimes takes the full hand and puts the hand inside the very mouth of a big dog and takes it out. Sometimes he rides on the horns of a big bull. He's so restless. And sometimes when the bull runs here and there, he throws him into a heap of a cow dung. And then Krishna comes back to Mother Yashoda. She is, you know, there's a very beautiful poem written in Brajabhasha by one of the wonderful poet. Khelat rar machavat dhavat kudat sham sakha sang bhaiya. Not only Krishna, but all the cowherd boys do such things. Shri Yamuna tat pank me lot banyo ati adbhut nand ko chhaiya. And they like to play, especially in the mud mixed with water. They like to play in that. Keech mein sane kilke. They sometimes take the mud and throw at each other. This is what they do. Kar udham kare dono bhaiya, both of them, Krishna and Balram, they do such things. And then Mother Yashoda thinks in her heart, ab main jaan so maan gayi gat janm ko shukar hai tu kanaiya. That now I have a firm determination in my heart, Krishna, now I know for sure, you were a wild boar. in some of your life. And Krishna happily accepts that, yes, I was. It's not a different thing. Yes, I was. And he accepts, and then Mother Yashoda, you know, takes care of him. So this sense of myness with Krishna, that even all the beautiful arts which Krishna knows, he always gives the credit that I have learned all of them from these Brajbasis. Krishna didn't knew how to play flute. Krishna didn't knew how to dance beautifully. Jehi naach ko dekh kinnar naar. When Krishna dance, great, you know, apsaras from the heavenly planets, they stopped and they want to notice each move of Krishna to learn from him. Jehi gaan kala lak sur gandharva. When the gandharvas hear him singing or playing, they make notes of each note what he is trying to play. Soi naachbo gaibo venu bajaibo. All these qualities of singing, playing and dancing. Soi naachbo gaibo venu bajaibo sham ku gwariya daant se khame. All the cowherd boys, Maharaj, they scold Krishna and then they teach him. They almost take a class for Krishna. Do this. Then he misses a step. Then they again scold him and then they teach him. So this sense of myness with Krishna develops between the Nij Parikars by the activities which they do together. And even when they spend some more times of fun, sometimes the gopas are hardly sad. Sadness doesn't exist between them. They are so full of fun and joy, they try to find fun in everything, that even at the time of eating, when there are so many serious persons in the evening, on the evening meal, still Batu wants to share some different quality of jokes. One day, Mother Yashoda is giving laddus to everyone. She's serving. And then somehow or the other, she misses Madhu Mangal. Laddu doesn't reach him. And then Madhu Mangal stops eating and he just looks into the sky. And he tells everyone, Maya, being born a Brahmana, I can see so many events further. I can see future a little bit. And Mother Yashoda asks, what do you see in the near future? Then he tells, a big fireball is soon coming to earth. A very big fireball is soon coming to the earth. And it will fall on the earth and everyone dies. And the special thing would be, everyone dies except me. Then Mother Yashoda asks, how is it possible, Batu, that if such a big fireball comes and falls on earth and everyone dies except you, how will you be saved? Then he says, in the same way as I was saved from the laddu. I will be saved in the same way I was saved from the laddu. The laddu could reach everyone, but the laddu didn't reach me. In the same way, the fireball will reach to everyone, but not to me. So these type of, you know, day-to-day, such loving dealings between Krishna and all the associates of Krishna, they take place. And at the very end of the night, when Krishna has eaten the meal, and then he goes around with Nanda Maharaj. You know, it's usually the Brajabasis are not wishing to go out of Nanda Bhavan. But at one point of time, everyone goes out. They go to their respective homes. And Nanda Maharaj starts closing only the half doors of Nanda Bhavan. One door is always open. One door is closed. And then when it is going on, Krishna also follows around Nanda Maharaj. And then in the very end, Sometimes Krishna misses from Nanda Maharaj here and there. So when Nanda Maharaj goes out from Nanda Bhavan, he always lifts Krishna and puts him outside of the threshold. You know, the big threshold of Nanda Bhavan and the entrance. It is a bit heavy. You know, it's a bit high. It is, Krishna doesn't have so much strength that he can, he knows how to walk, but he cannot cross it over. He's a bit smaller, so he cannot cross it over. So at one point of time, Narada and the great munis are seeing this, that when Krishna is trying to cross over that threshold of Nanda Bhavan, he gets stuck. He gets stuck with his stomach. Stomach on the threshold, hands on that side, and legs on that side. So his hands cannot touch the earth on the another one side, and his legs cannot touch the on that side. And he's stuck. And then he starts calling, Maya, 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 Maya. You know, come, you know, he's helpless. He's calling the others to rescue him. Sri Surdas has written so beautifully about this exact moment. Sri Surdas asks Krishna, So bal kahan gayo Bhagavan? Oh Bhagavan, where that unlimited strength which you have has gone today? Where does that unlimited strength which you possess has gone? By who? By that same power, taking the form of a fish, you plunged yourself into the depth of great waters and retrieved the Vedas and destroyed many demons. By that same power, placing the mountain upon your back in form of a tortoise, the great ocean was churned. By that same power, you taking the incarnation of a boar, you held up the earth. By that same strength, you split open the chest of great demon Hiranyakashipu. By that same power, just in 3 steps, you could cover the whole 3 worlds. By that same power, you beheaded the different heads of Ravana and established Vibhishan as the king. By that same strength, you subdued the great pride of Jambavant. Oh my dear Lord, where that strength, that same power has gone today? Where that same power has gone today? And you lie down on the threshold of Nanda Bhavan like a ignorant and helpless child. Where has that strength gone today? So the devotees have a different way of really relishing the helpless condition of Krishna. Actually, Surdas is also considered to be one of the associates of Krishna. That's how he can interpret, that's how he can see. He is said to be the incarnation of the cowherd boy known as Rishabh. So he, those who are Nij Parikar, those who are the eternal associates of Krishna, they know, even without having the physical eyes, they can see those eternal pastimes, because they have been the direct eyewitnesses of such pastimes. And then Mother Yashoda comes to rescue him and always tells him, why do you go alone? Go with Nanda Baba or go with me. And then Mother Yashoda brings Krishna up to the small cradle where he usually sleeps. Teen lok taake taaku palne jhulave maya. Mother Yashoda then again makes him the bed and then makes him to sleep. And she forgets that he has not yet drunk the milk. Krishna has not yet drunk the milk. And what kind of specific milk Krishna likes, which Mother Yashoda prepares for him. Up till the age when Krishna was drinking her own breast milk, she was feeding her with her own breast milk. And as soon as he started drinking the milk from the other cows, then she makes specifically the milk from Padma Gandha cows. The milk which Krishna likes has from the cow, from the Padma Gandha cows, has the fragrance of white lotus. And that same milk Mother Yashoda has to make it adhota. Adhota means when you have 10 liters of milk and you boil it up till it becomes half. You boil it on a very, very low flame. Mataji knows. Boiling it on a very, very low flame so that it boils and boils and condenses up till it becomes half. And then Krishna drinks it, and he drinks it whether he is drinking milk from the direct breast of Mother Yashoda or from a glass, he still drinks like a calf, making different sounds. The specific sound which is mentioned by the Brajabasis is the sound of chukur chukur. He drinks. If you see up till today, even if you see a small calf drinking the milk of mother cow, he still makes a similar sound like that. And then Krishna is now finally ready to pretend that he is going to sleep. He doesn't sleep still, but he is now ready to act that he now feels sleepy and is about to go to sleep. The next pastime we will hear tomorrow. Radhe Shyam.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Now it is a very important question for us here in this world. How can we develop mamatva towards Krishna? Immediately, three things come to mind. One is that we relate to our deities. These are our deities whom we worship, the deities whom we go to for Mangal Arati. In this way, the devotee thinks, my Krishna, my deities, no, my deities. Another mamatva is I received from my spiritual master the holy name, and this is now my, is his gift to me. It is my holy name in such a way that I always think that for devotees, the first contact with Krishna is really through the holy name. So if it is good if we cultivate a special relationship. I like, for instance, I have my favorite melodies in which I chant my Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. No? That is. And the third way is something which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as the most congenial feelings towards Krishna for a conditioned soul, and that is the purvaraga, or the anticipation of one day being so fortunate as to have close contact with Krishna. But I also would like to add, my Krishna, see, certain things you cannot express in words, you have to feel in the heart. And this feeling in the heart towards your Krishna will grow and grow and grow if you get into the habit of praying to Krishna. There will be a time when the prayer in which you say to Krishna is to your Krishna. No? Where you feel this closeness, where you confide with him your difficulties. Thank you all very much. With this, we rest our katha for today, and in the evening tomorrow, let us see, by Krishna's grace, our katha will rise again and be there. Hare Krishna.